go get an update from Ann Arbor on Harbaugh Watch 2022, and also what a difference a week makes for Juwan Howard in Michigan basketball. Chris Ballas from the Wolverine.com, the Michigan insider, is standing by the Meyer guest line. And Chris, first, there seems to be nothing new about Harbaugh leaving. What are you hearing?
Yeah, it's basically wait-and-see mode, Bill, and which NFL teams or franchises are interested in him and how interested he is in them and what they might have to offer. And I think they're still a little bit far apart on a contract, to be honest with you, and speaking to people. I don't know that there's a whole lot of banter going back and forth, but I think there's an offer on the table. And I'm not going to say Jim Harbaugh feels slighted, but I don't think it's among the top – top contracts in the Big Ten East, even. And I think, to me, leaves your head scratching your head a little bit. So you and I have talked about this, and you said, he's got to be up there at least with James Franklin, maybe Mel Tucker territory, if you're signing Jim Harbaugh and to send a message, and I don't think they're there yet. So that's something we're kind of keeping an eye out for. But and then to see which other NFL teams might be interested in him besides the Raiders. Right now it looks like it's the Raiders or bust, and there haven't been a whole lot of leaks on the NFL side when it comes to Las Vegas and what they're thinking. So that's what we're watching right now. We don't expect anything to happen immediately, but within the next week or so, you would think that stuff would leak on the LA or Las Vegas side, rather, about which way they are actually looking.
I've said it from the start that I've looked at the path and the history, and I know Hackett went and got that deal done with Harbaugh, but the fact that they made him take a pay cut just a year ago tells me that they're not going to give him a 10-year, $95 million deal like Tucker got, or $85 million, whatever the number is, with Franklin. There's just a part of me that, and why I think there is this impasse that you mentioned that is real, because nothing's been signed or nothing's been announced, and Michigan or Ward Manuel hasn't said, hey, we want him to be our guy. I think they're content that if Harbaugh chooses to move to the NFL, they'll move on and take somebody on staff, which could be a Mike Hart, for continuity in this season and see what he'll do. I really feel that
way. I think it's very possible. Bill, I think it's very possible. And in fact, we'll be writing a story on that today. So they don't seem overly concerned. And, at a school like Michigan, you've got the boosters out there too. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, has talked to Jim Harbaugh, and there are guys willing to pony up to keep him at Michigan. In fact, Ross has come out and said, I'm not going to be the guy that takes Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. He wants to see him here, especially after this season when he finally got over the hill and over the mountaintop there and beat Ohio State and got to the playoff. So he's been close, but now he's there, and it looks like he's building something. Like he said, it feels like the beginning, and I think in a lot of ways it really does, especially with all that young talent on offense. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the next week, because just not a whole lot to say, and the longer it goes, and I've always maintained this, the longer it goes, the less likely it is that he returns, unless he just doesn't have options. And I think there will be some options for him, I really do. Although it looks like right now it's the Raiders or bust, we do know that Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, really likes him. So that's going to be something to watch closely.
Chris Ballas on the Wolverine.com, the Michigan insider, joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. A week ago, I was wondering, with this team and talking about Michigan basketball now, would this team be able to even get to the NCAA tournament? Would they have to fight and scrape to stay out of the bottom of the Big Ten? And as I think Anthony Broom said on one of the tweets at the Wolverine.com that they shared, what a difference a week makes from that dominating first half against Maryland, kind of cruise control second half. I didn't like the D, but what they did start to finish yesterday, we haven't seen that type of basketball since that road trip to Nebraska. And that was against an Indiana team that hadn't lost at home this year.
Yeah, and just beat Purdue and celebrated. I was interested to see how they would respond. When you rush the court and you have that emotional win over your rival, and then you have to come back in 3 days and do it again, I was interested to see how they'd play. I knew Michigan matched up well with them, but they haven't played well in venues where they fall apart. And that is one of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten. So give them credit for what they did from start to finish. They were up by 6 points or 7 points 5 minutes into the game, and they were never up by less less than six after that, huge, and got up to 16 points and win by 18. To me, it really started against Illinois, even when Hunter Dickinson was out, with the effort that we saw in that game. And that was what one of the things that had been lacking, was that sense of every possession matters. Something you hear Tom Izzo talk about all the time, right? We try to win pretty, then we're going to be in trouble. When you get back down to basics and you get back down to outworking people, then you're going to have a great chance to be in every game. And even though they lost at Illinois without Hunter Dickinson, they were down one with 7 minutes to go and a layup away from in-and-out layup away from taking the lead down the stretch. So that's where it started. And I said, we need to see that consistently for me to get on board here, that they've turned the corner, and they've done that now for three games in a row. So, and the other thing, Bill, is that they're making shots. And it's as simple as that. When Hunter Dickinson, who's now shooting 39% from 3-point range, can step out, now one of your four or your five men is able to hit threes. That opens the floor a little bit for Musa Diabate inside. It's a little different. Usually it's between the four and the five. It's the four making the threes, but if Hunter Dickinson can do that, opens things up for Diabate. That's been great. And Caleb Houston's starting to hit shots. Big Ten freshman of the week, made 8 of his last 11 threes and is now shooting, I think, 41 or 42% from three-point range. Sometimes it's as simple as that, but they're getting good looks against good defensive teams like Indiana, and that means the ball movement's better. Devontae Jones is playing better. Starting to see why people were so high on this team earlier in the year.
You look at Williams and Johns, and it reminded me of the Nebraska game, and again, they didn't combine for 35 yesterday, but 15 is big, and then you get Houston looking like one of the best Big Ten freshmen, and he was announced as Big Ten Freshman Player of the Week. If you get that production, or somewhere between that combination where that group is giving you 35, 40 points a game combined, Michigan will be a tough out, because when they're hitting those shots, as you said, it opens up the middle. And you watch Dickinson in the last two games playing like he did early in the year and all last season.
And that guy, when he's hitting step back jumpers and he's hitting three pointers like he is, that now he looks like a pro, right? Now you're starting to see the arsenal improve, and that's what everybody said. He's got to show that if he's going to be a pro in this day's NBA. And we're starting to see the confidence. And more than anything, they look like they're having fun and enjoying each other's company. And I'm writing this in a column today, too. And you can tell the locker room scene afterwards. These guys are really starting to bond. And I didn't see that earlier in the year. It looked like, yeah, a bunch of guys that were still kind of feeling each other out and really didn't know each other. Last year, I think they were a little spoiled when Mike Smith came in and Shaundy Brown, and it was like they'd been there forever. Devontae Jones was still trying to find out his role and what he was supposed to do on this team, and I think that he's starting to get there, Bill. He's shooting 43% from three-point range, not forcing it, though, and I think they're starting to figure out who does what and who plays well together. You're not going to have games. Every game's not going to be 11 for 17 from three, not even close to that. They're going to have some games where they don't shoot the ball well, but if they continue to play as hard as they have and as well as they have defensively over the last three games, then they're still going to be able to win some games, and there are a lot of games on that schedule to build that NCAA tournament resume. They're right back in there on the bubble with just the win at Indiana, so going to have some opportunities coming up here. They're going to have to win some of them, but this is a team that, you know, it could be one of those where they have a 16-13 or 17-13 overall record and still somehow get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Michigan was really good the last two games, but not great, and we'll see if that lies ahead and they get Michigan State at the Breslin on Saturday. That will be a big one. And also, was it Northwestern on Wednesday night? Is that next up?
It is. Can't overlook them. And, Northwestern, we saw what they did at Michigan State. So you can't look at past anybody. I know it's cliche, but in this conference, you got beat at home by Minnesota. That one still, it stings a little bit. So, but they have opportunities here. And the way they're playing now, Bill, I expect this team, I think they've kind of found something that they've been lacking in terms of chemistry, and it looks good for them down the stretch.
Yeah, good, not great. Could be great. We'll see how it pans out.
Don't even bring it up.
Hey, I saw you congratulate Stafford. I did too. He's still got two games, home games now. He can't lose those. He can't.
Oh, come on, man.
They're at home. No. His game yesterday is a lifetime moment, and people won't forget it. And it was a big game in the national media. Not just me. The national media was questioning his big game resume. It's not just Bill Simonson in Michigan, and he shut everybody up with what he did in the last 50 seconds. on Brady's home turf against the greatest quarterback of all time with those two throws to Cooper Kupp and then the field goal.
And the way he played all game, you know, because yes. Everybody was like, well, you know what? They relied on him. I thought, you know, what are they going to do? Come out and play run heavy and, you know, hope that he doesn't lose the game for them? That's not what they signed him up for. They signed him up to win games. And I thought he did that yesterday. And he beat Brady earlier in the year, too.
Yeah,
so
twice. He's 2-0 against Brady.
Yeah.
Actually 3-0 if you go back to the Sunday game in Detroit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
3-0. So who owns?
But I'm happy for the guy.
You know what? And I'm looking now at the Wolverine.com bonus website. Chris Ballas's article, Why Matt Stafford is the greatest of all time, not Tom Brady. He's great, no. Not good. Wow. He's got a picture. No, I'm looking at this. I'll give you guys backdoor website. He's got a picture of Stafford that says great. Then he has a picture of Brady that says good. And in between, one big finger pointed at me and Skeen. So that is...
You know damn well I was sending Skeen texts yesterday.
I was waiting for, you know, I'm on that group text chain with you and Skeener, and I didn't get one. And I'm thinking, well, I did give him love on Twitter. And I do, you know, my final thought on him, and that was a big over-the-hump moment for Stafford nationally, is that... All the yardage, all the numbers he put up in Detroit, the narrative that he had nobody around him and the fact that nobody gives any of those other players credit for helping Stafford get those numbers is what's bothered me, not so much Matt Stafford.
I guess, but then I look at Barry Sanders, too, with his one playoff win, and I'm not going to hold it against him because he plays for the crappiest organization.
Hey, Barry Calvin and Stafford, one playoff win between all three.
Right, and so that comes down to it. Mm. Is it them or is it the organization?
Coaching.
The organization.
Coaching.
Please sell Fords. Listen to me now. Please sell and do us all a favor or move the franchise to Mexico and we'll just root for them.
Well, then you better sell the Ford Pinto you have in your lot there outside of Ann Arbor.
Never. I will never.
Don't sell that, but just don't get hit from behind. It might get a little smoke.
Got it.
All right, we love you, Chris.
Thanks, brother.
I do. I mean, he is an awesome dude.